Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornos.com. Here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And on this episode, we'll look back at the Pacers' 98-88 win over the Orlando Magic on Wednesday night. A game that started real strong for the Pacers, but had quite a clunky finish. But the bottom line is they put it away in the fourth quarter, thanks to some unlikely heroes, which is a nice change for the Pacers. And also, on this episode, we'll look at a few numbers that kind of back up the challenging February schedule ahead for the Pacers, which makes the win in Orlando even more important for the blue and gold. But before we get started, reminder, please hit me up with any comments, questions, feelings about the game, the rotation. We saw a little change tonight. Via email, you can hit me at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. All right, let's start. The Pacers win. Kind of a tale of two halves. Pacers came out real strong, great energy, great ball movement. Got a double-digit lead early. Definitely putting that Mark Monteith theorem to test. But the energy, the ball movement, after they kind of gave that lead back again in the second quarter after a strong reserve unit showing, they pushed that lead back to 15 points and eventually took a 9-point lead to the break at halftime. At that point, the starters looked a little stale coming back in to finish out the half after a pretty strong showing from the reserves with Rodney Stuckey back in the lineup, playing alongside Monte Ellis. Aaron Brooks was the odd man out in the rotation, but they had good energy. Maybe Stuckey's return kept that group energized. Glenn Robinson the third, real active, making shots. Looked good. So it was maybe a little disappointing that the starters didn't come in and build on the lead that the reserves expanded. You know, we've heard Paul George recently complain a little bit about that reserve unit not being ready to come in and at least maintain the lead. Well, on this night, the tables were turned on PG, but regardless, it looked like going into the break at the half, Pacers would be able to come out, maybe give that burst of energy they've done so often this year with that starting unit in the third quarter and seize control of the game for good. But second was a clank fest, really. Both teams had trouble scoring buckets. For the half, the Pacers won the half 42-41. Tells you the low-scoring half it was. And for Paul George, first time this season, he scored under double digits, finished with 8 points, and only had 1 point in the second half, and that was thanks to his old coach, Frank Vogel, who got real red-faced a few times, yelled at the refs, eventually picked up a technical, and PG made the single free throw. That was it for him, and that was it for the game for him as far as getting to the line. One free throw, and that was a technical. So just one of those games where PG was a little off. He was 3 for 14 from the field, 1 of 6 from the three-point line, and I had a little concern coming down the stretch. The Pacers had a lead that they could not really expand until the very, very end. Game kind of floated between 5 and 9 points. And one of those games where you just hate to see it collapse completely and have them lose on the road, even though we've seen that before. and I had some fears that maybe PG was going to try and get his, at least to get some points. But really, he was pretty patient with the game. I'm not going to say he played well. Had five turnovers and had a few bad ones there in the fourth quarter as well. I'm sure he was frustrated, played like it. But the good news was he didn't force some crazy shots or try and force fouls to get to the line or do anything that was kind of outside his lane and would actually drive the Pacers down to one of those bad losses. So considering the fact that he had 8 points for the game, again, 1 point in the second half, and nothing down the stretch to help the Pacers, that's a quality win for the Pacers to hang on no matter what's going on. So when you consider how did they do it with PG playing like that, well, some other guys stepped up. And C.J. Miles was the main hero on the night, making some big plays in the fourth quarter. He had 14 of his 16 points in the second half, and 9 of those in the third quarter when he made 3 of 4 three-pointers, and then he got the other 5 in the fourth quarter, common math, making 2 shots in the game. Both shots were key, and he also had 2 huge rebounds that the Pacers desperately needed. As the Magic were trying to get over the hump to make it a one-possession game, and they couldn't. A couple of long rebounds, one that CJ was able to chase down and get out ahead of everybody and finish with a layup, and then the other at the end of the game that, when the game is still about 5-point game, chased it down and secured the possession and then hits a big three. So CJ Miles, definitely huge game in the second half, shaking off some early foul trouble. His foul trouble actually forced Glenn Robinson III to play more minutes. Also, Robinson, I think, earned more minutes as well. He had a quality game off the bench. Really efficient night. Finished with 14 points, 7 rebounds. Made all 5 of his shots, including 2 three-pointers. And just seems to continue to fit into this role coming off the bench. You know, he may be a better player to be starting for the team because of the firepower CJ has that may be a little bit underutilized with the starting unit. But regardless, he's playing so well now off the bench, and you know, with the effort they got from CJ tonight, that rotation looks pretty good because, again, you're doing this without your all-star Paul George having an all-star type night. So between Robinson and Miles, you get 30 points. Boom. That makes up for what PG didn't do. You know, in the last 4 games, George has scored at least 30 points, but this time some guys were able to step up. Other hustle plays made by Thad Young in that second half, keeping possessions for the Pacers. Little plays that just kind of kept the Magic from, again, getting over that hump and getting it down to a 3-point lead at any point where things could have gotten more dicey. It seemed like every time the Magic needed like one more bucket, Pacers were able to come up with a steal, a tip, a rebound, or a bucket to hold them off, and eventually came away with that 98-88 win. So speaking of Robinson and that reserve unit, it looked a little different tonight because Rodney Stuckey returned to action for the first time in really about 20 games. He played 6 minutes before tweaking his hammy 15 games ago, but regardless, a lot better out on the court until he tweaked an ankle there in the second half. He did not want to come out. He hobbled through a few possessions and eventually kind of ran it off. But he was on a minutes limit, and eventually when he did come out after tweaking that ankle, went back, iced it up. But it didn't appear there was any concern with him going forward. Stuckey finished with 8 points. Again, though, gave some strong energy to that second unit and really was attacking a few times, got to the line, made 4 of 6 free throws, but that ability to create, take on contact, get to the line or make a shot is real valuable with that unit. And it seemed like Robinson was in a little better spot playing off of those two guys with Monte Ellis. Now the odd guy out, Aaron Brooks, so really you don't have that true point guard out there. But, you know, at times when you need someone on that unit to create a shot where Brooks can do that, but it's usually a long and sometimes wild three, Stuckey can put his head down and get into somebody and get to the lane and often get to the line. So Ellis, didn't have a great night himself. Didn't score, missed all three of his shots, but did have four assists. So the second unit brought the energy, and again, they were real big in the second quarter there, or, you know, the first half, straddling the first and second quarter, where they pushed the lead to double digits after it had fluctuated in the first quarter. So, all told, with LaVoy Allen, Stuckey, Jefferson, Robinson, and Monte, even though Monte didn't score, that second unit was good for 38 points. So that was big, and, you know, really about all you can ask from your reserve unit. You know, leave the rest up to the starters. Other good numbers for the Pacers, they won the rebounding battle 38-35. Never matters what the margin is on that. If it's a plus for the Pacers, that's a quality effort. And again, the second half was so clunky, and, you know, it was just odd to see some of the numbers as this team struggled to finish out the game. But really, you know, the defense, the effort, hitting the glass, was able to get it done. And unfortunately, they weren't able to capitalize on that defense all the time. But they held the Magic at bay. I mean, you consider in the fourth quarter, Pacers were only 6 of 15 from the field. But Paul George, no field goals made. Miles Turner, no field goals made. Jeff Teague, no field goals made. Of the starters, you know, Thad and C.J. Miles are the only ones that make shots, along with Stuckey and Glenn Robinson early in the quarter. But down the stretch, when they needed something, it just wasn't there. They couldn't get anything to go. It was just an odd finish to this game. It really felt like they were potentially going to let the thing slip away. But again, they kept making the plays on defense. So all credit to finding a way to get it done, even when things aren't going well down the stretch on the road, even if it is against a team you should expect to beat. So take the dub and move on. And now they're maybe, you know, separating a little bit more from Charlotte and Chicago. And, you know, as we speak, Chicago has to play at OKC on Wednesday night, and Charlotte is in the Bay Area playing the Warriors. So they could separate a little bit more there, and they're kind of catching it up into the draft behind the Wizards and Hawks, who have been playing well of late. So Pacers are setting themselves up in good position, and then they're going to have to grind out the rest of the month. Again, that's what makes this win so important, is when you look ahead to the rest of the month. I want to point you to an article by John Schumann on NBA.com, who breaks down the schedule for the month of February for the whole league. And if you look at the Pacers schedule, even with these games, you know, starting out against Brooklyn and Orlando, it's still quite challenging schedule ahead for the Pacers. You know, actually, if you count the first three games, throwing Detroit in there, you're going against worse offenses in the league. But as Shue notes, the Pacers still, even with those three games, play a league-high seven games against teams that currently rank in the top 10 in offensive efficiency. And six of those games are before the All-Star break. So challenges lie ahead over the next couple weeks here. Also, the Pacers, for the month, play a league-high 13 games. And so when you throw in the three games against Orlando, Brooklyn, and Detroit, the cumulative opponent winning percentage is still the highest in the league, even with those three teams factored in. So the only bright spot on the list, as you'll see, Schumann has a great chart within this article on NBA.com. Again, check it out. Go click the link, read the whole thing. The opponent back-to-back Pacers have six games against teams that will be coming off a back-to-back. So that's a bonus. Now, they have to play four back-to-backs in there. So not sure where the crossbreeding is there. But again, eight of the 13 against teams over 500. So they really got to take advantage of these first three games. And they've already taken advantage of game number one, winning down in Orlando, finding a way to beat Frank Vogel's squad, even though it got really clunky in the second half and turned into a big challenge. But it looks nice and pretty in the win column right now, and the Pacers will take that with them as they move on to Brooklyn to take on the Nets on Friday night. So again, thanks for listening. Love to hear your thoughts on the game again, or the rotation, trade talks, whatever. Hit me up via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Then you can find the pod on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are archived and available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.